Hello and welcome to episode 253 of the Daily Brainwave. My name is Sean and I will be your host as we try and discover the most useful and interesting fact known to mankind. Find us online at dailybrainwave.com and contact the show via email at Sean, that's S-E-A-N, at dailybrainwave.com. We have a listener theme week coming up soon, so send in your topic ideas to that email, Sean at dailybrainwave.com, for a chance to be included on the show. Today we continue our look at Joan of Arc by asking how this teenage peasant girl managed to rally a whole army to her side. A lot of people know that Joan of Arc found her footing pretty quickly in the court, and even amongst her soldiers. Many followed her boldly into battle. But when you really think about it, contemplate for a moment, why in the world would anyone follow a teenager who claimed to hear voices in her head, by the way, let alone put her in charge of people? In a modern time, she would be locked away, not put in charge of the army. The answer lies in a forgotten world, the world of prophecy. The story of Joan of Arc is painted today as inevitable. This hero rose from nothing to take prominence, so sure of herself, her followers so initially faithful, that her victory doesn't even seem miraculous. It seems preordained. Well, it's because it was. In France in the 1400s, her victory was actually a sure thing, at least in the realm of the spiritual. The idea of prophecy was alive and well in 15th century France, and women especially were associated with these mystic predictions. As Joan of Arc undertook her first journey from her village to meet the Dauphin of France, the man her divine voices told her needed to be both crowned and convinced to give her control of the army, she may or may not have been aware of the prophecies dating back for generations that seemed to be just waiting for her arrival to fulfill them. Everyone from Joan's near contemporary, a mystic woman named Marie d'Avignon, to Merlin, the mythical wizard who was even in Joan's time already the stuff of legend, had weighed in on the subject. They spoke of the Maid of Lorraine, a woman of pure body and spirit who would bring the French back to glory, restoring her place in the European pantheon. Joan's home village, Domremy, was indeed near the border of the Lorraine province. On top of that, when she arrived at the Dauphin's court, she underwent examinations by the clerics to double-check her purity. How exactly they could tell, not quite sure, but however they did it, they were able to confirm that she was indeed celibate. By these accounts, then, Joan of Arc fit the bill perfectly and appeared to those who put stock in prophecy, as many in France did, to be the one destined to, quote, deliver the kingdom of France from her enemies. Many of the portrayals today of Joan in popular culture mostly have her just magically convincing the Dauphin to turn over control of the army to her, and then the army just sort of blindly followed her for some reason into battle. But when you dig deeper, you can really understand why the army followed her so loyally. She wasn't just Joan, a random teenage girl. She was Joan of Arc, the Maiden of Lorraine, the one who the mystics foretold would reawaken the spirit of France. Thanks for tuning in to episode 253 of the Daily Brainwave. Email the show with comments and suggestions, and most importantly, your ideas for topics for the upcoming listener theme week at Sean, that's S-E-A-N, at dailybrainwave.com. Check out our website, dailybrainwave.com, where you can find sources and links for further reading about today's topic. And make sure you tune in tomorrow as we continue Joan of Arc Week by looking at her trial by fire. Too soon?
Too soon, maybe.
Yeah, too soon.
Guys, too soon. Too soon.